The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. Maybe if I never stop talking.
Start over.
Maybe if I never start talking. Because it's going so well. It didn't happen. Maybe I was dreaming. Maybe I didn't buy into the this year will be different thing, only to watch the Milwaukee Brewers choke away the win last night at AmFam Field. I'm not doing great this morning, folks. I'm not going to lie. I was very pumped about postseason baseball starting yesterday. Watched the game before the Brewers. Good for the Tigers. And was very pumped about postseason baseball being back in Milwaukee. I would have preferred that they got the bye, obviously. We were championing that for a while here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, hoping that they would get close. But all in all, it was a very, very successful regular season. Besides that little blip of them not catching the Phillies or catching the Dodgers, Gabe, I was like, all right, let's do the dang thing. Let's show everybody that with Pat Murphy at the helm, this team is different than every other Brewers postseason team that we have been watching for the last half decade or so. And I got to tell you this morning, Gabe, I don't feel like it's different. I don't feel different. I feel like I'm on the hamster wheel. I feel like it is the same thing all over again. I feel like it is deja vu because they dropped that game and now put themselves in a very, very, very difficult position to move on in the MLB postseason.
Okay, it's not that difficult, first of all. Second of all, can I propose something? Let's dump our bucket. Let's get it out. But they're not dead yet. And it's like, they lost a game in a three-game series. How many times have the Brewers won two games in a row this season?
A lot.
It's all
but
you got to
do. But I actually don't think, I think somebody crunched the numbers yesterday and said, for all the series this season where the Brewers dropped the first game, I think I saw the number was 17. Don't quote me on it. This is me relying on my foggy brain. But I'm pretty sure I saw the number was 17. That would be the number of series this season where the Brewers dropped the first game.
Yep.
Of those 17, I believe they went on to win the series 7 times.
It's still not bad.
That means they did it 10!
Yeah, so?
I mean, again, don't trust me on math. Like, I could be wrong on those numbers.
Yeah, I mean, that's not very, 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 like, they're not down 3-0. They're not dead. They're not down 3-1.
But again, history has shown us, and it is a small sample size. That is the one thing that you can hang your hat on this morning. It is a small sample size, but it does not go well for teams in this era of the wild card game who lose the first game.
Your children are older than the wild card era.
Which one?
All of them.
Okay.
Literally all of them. Like, it's a small sample. He's going to win 2 in a row. It doesn't mean yesterday was in it, because yesterday was still inexcusable. Like, what? Yesterday was still
so
terrible.
You're with me.
Well, yesterday was still terrible, but I'm not like, oh, it's over. Same old Brewers. I'm not that. Like, they still have a game today.
They have a game today.
I'm incredibly excited about the game tonight. I am excited for their opportunity.
Tonight, Smashing Pumpkins.
Yesterday was, I want to swear, it was a bleep show.
Well, yes, but that's what I'm saying. Okay, so thank you. You recognize that yesterday's game, and we have a number of things that we could get to. I know you have one specific play that is just gnawing
cover
at you.
Face! There it is. That's all you have to do. It's day one of spring training. Guess what they do? PFPs. You know what that stands for? Pitcher fielding practice. Day one, cover bleeping first base. Ground ball goes to that side of the infield. Guess what you do? I run over to first base. I catch the ball from the first baseman. I step on the base, which Joel Piamps still hasn't done.
You know what's making me very happy in this moment right here? That it lasted you all of 4 minutes to be the measured, level-headed. They
cover
still
first
got
base.
A game.
But they do have a game tonight.
That's
they do have a game
100%.
Tonight.
No one is saying that they do not have a game. And could they still win the series? Of course they could. And somebody's going to jump on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line or into our YouTube page and be like, relax, Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X. However, did portions of yesterday's game give you confidence that this team, now in the postseason, is the same team that you watched during the regular season? Because it did feel like, guys, the moment got to them. Your thing about pie amps, yes, that to me is a bright lights, big city, big moment, boom. That's what that was. I think, overreaction to pull Freddie Peralta after four. I think 68 pitches. I think that was postseason baseball. We're managing differently. We've got one of the best bullpens in the country, in the league, 3.11 ERA. So we're going to go to our bullpen. I understand the move, but I also think Freddie was rolling. Freddie had retired the last nine.
Nine in a row.
And in that instance, I personally, and this is not just the benefit of hindsight, I personally would have trotted him back out there for the fifth. And if he gets in a jam, then throw your bullpen out there.
Yeah,
then throw your guys who have been so good all season long to fix it.
But it's so different for a bullpen for a guy to start an inning clean.
I know.
And you don't want to put anybody in a bad spot. And Freddie, again, the numbers bear out. I'm trying to think. I mean, awful's probably not strong enough in terms of his fifth inning ERA. Bad. Oof. Jumps up there. Jumps off the page. And then especially if he lets one guy on, then you're turning that lineup over for the third time. As good as Freddie's been, he's not been that guy that you go, yeah, third time through the lineup, he's fine.
Freddie's ERA in the fifth inning all season long. 7.67.
Oh, I thought it started with a five.
No.
Seven?
Higher. Seven.
Starts with a seven?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I think he was justified.
That was bad. And this, but yeah, look.
Wait, time out. Do you think that it's a mental thing? You think he just gets to the fifth inning and he just forgets how to pitch? You think it's that they've seen him now a couple of times?
They've seen him a couple of
third
times.
Third time through the order?
I mean, his fastball, he does have four pitches, but he really relies on kind of three of them. You know, the curveball, he doesn't throw a ton. It's more slider changeup. So,
but in those instances, and I know that it's going to be tough to crunch these numbers, I'm throwing this out there as something to consider. How many times had he retired the previous nine?
No
right?
Idea.
Because again, if you expect a guy to be your ace, you need him to be an ace. And that means that in these moments, when you're rolling, you give him a little more leash.
But it doesn't, I mean, If Freddie's out there and they give him five outs, like it doesn't matter who's pitching at that point.
Well, that's true, and that's
you can't give out five outs in a playoff game in an inning. Just can't go. Oh, this inning instead of three outs, you get five. I don't know how Jackson Churio didn't get charged for an error.
Yes. Friendly scoreboard,
I guess, because you know he left his feet because he took a bad route. If I took a route like that, my teammates would go, nice route, Magellan. Like, that's how bad that route was.
Whoa. Social studies. Burn.
Yeah, right? Well, it's just, yeah, that's, like, it was a bad route. But, I mean, honestly, other than that, though, Jackson Churio, if you want to ask why I would have confidence that the Brewers are winning tonight, Jackson Churio is the answer. That dude's got it. That guy, I mean, he lost the ball because it was kind of the sun was glaring through the windows of American Family Field, which I understand still stinks, should still have been charged for an error. But outside of that, robbed a home run, had a couple of hits, had a couple of big hits. Like the dude delivered yesterday.
Josh, are you still positive this morning? Are you still positive that the Brewers can get this series, can win this series, can move on?
I have a confession. I'm not. Every part of me and Gabe were championing this team's different. And all it took was the Brewers to go down and look particularly ugly in one inning for me to start into. And let me tell you, this is a polluted mindset, for sure.
At least you're willing to admit it. Thank you.
Mike McCarthy, give it to me, Mike.
This is absolutely a polluted mindset, but I'm at the, oh no, not again, these stinking Brewers. And this team's so different. The players are different. The manager's
like,
different.
So different. Like only yes. 10 only 10 players from last year are on this year's playoff run.
I'm
and
emotional.
I believe I saw that only Willy Adames has playoff experience with the Brewers.
Yeah.
I believe I saw that number
and
as well.
Contreras.
Here is the thing. The things we said were going to carry this team it appears, may have stymied them. We were talking about the youth, and they don't know what they don't know. But you know what, guys? They don't know. Like, you talk about that blunder at first base. Like, that is a... You make it any time. You can go out there and do it. Kiddos are doing it at the high school field all day long.
But like, Pyumps is 30 years old. He's not young. He's not one of the young guys making the mistakes. He's a veteran.
But what about playoff experience? I don't have his numbers in front of me, but how much playoff experience does Pyumps have?
I don't care. You're covering first base.
But
you're covering first base.
My point that is everything gets amplified. The
lights
are brighter.
That's like a running back forgetting which hole he's running through.
I understand, but if I had to find an excuse for why that happens, it's because you're putting pressure on yourself because it's the postseason. That's why that happens.
Not knowing, I mean, he pitched for the Brewers last year in the playoffs, so he had that. But like, no, running to first base should be when a ground ball goes to the right side of the infield. You should know, as a pitcher, like that should be as natural as throwing a pitch, running to first base. That's how much like you've been working on this throughout the course of your life.
Sure. But my point is, sometimes bleep happens, right? And I'll use my own personal example, guys. I've been doing television for 20 plus years. And a few weeks ago, I go out on game day, and instead of looking at the camera, I did my entire report looking at the light, okay? Like moth to a flame type of crap, okay? There's no explanation for it. I've been doing TV for 20 years. I know that I should be looking at the camera when the camera is on me. And for some reason, I brain farted and was staring at the light. It happens is my point. And I don't think that he's going to be able to explain why he brain farted, except that it was a playoff game and he was maybe overthinking or not thinking or in his head or all of those other things that we know happened.
He said after the game that he thought that he was closer to first. It was a laziness thing. Oh, I thought he was closer to first base than he was. That's a laziness thing. I don't care how close you think it is to first base. You still start running over there. Yeah. And then
you should be meeting him there at that situation.
Yeah, once you realize, oh, he could take it himself,
then you
peel off.
800-990-3776. How are you feeling this morning, Brewers fans? You got a couple options. You can be the optimist like Gabe is being, which is to say it isn't over. You lost game one and
they lit up Sean Manea just a couple days ago, too. Manea's going back out there today.
And that makes you confident that they can do it again?
Yeah, because Sean Manea stinks.
I'm with Gabe there.
Okay. Here's the other thing. The Mets, famously, played a doubleheader. Headed into, like, not like a couple days before, not like a week before, not like rest your body after playing a doubleheader to get into the postseason before. The day before they came to AmFam Field. Why did they look like the more ready team? Why did they look like the more interested team? Why did they look like the team?
I don't think any of that is true.
They didn't look like... So you think the fifth inning was all about the mistakes the Brewers made?
Yeah, 1,000%. Because the Brewers took a lead, lost the lead, but then took it right back. Like, they were in that game. They were there. They were ready. They made two crucial mistakes, and that cost them the game. Again, if Pyumps covers the base, that's three outs. Nobody scores. Nobody. You're not getting anything after that. Ashby doesn't even come into the game. And now you're putting more pressure. Like, the Mets didn't even have to throw any good relievers. Not that they had any good relievers to throw because of the doubleheader. They didn't have to throw any good relievers because the Brewers fell apart and gave them five outs in the fifth inning.
Are we worried about the amount of ups and downs, like the lack of hits after that outburst? That was scary to me. They didn't do anything.
Yeah, they didn't do anything after that. I mean, I think that, again, you give up that kind of, it takes the wind out of your sails.
And
but
Murphy
it's not
made
like
the point that they didn't do anything either, right, down the stretch.
Yeah, nobody did. It was just
three up, three down.
It was a very boring game after that.
And here's the thing. When you're down by four runs, I'd like at least life. On polluted mindset, I said it from the start. I didn't feel good at all. I don't feel good right now, and I expected to be feeling a lot better.
If they win tonight, are you going to feel better if they win tonight?
I will feel slightly more optimistic, but I still am waiting for the other shoe to drop. And that's the wrong mindset to have, but that's how I feel with the Brewers in recent history.
And for whatever reason, and I think we can point to, as you just stated, Joshy, recent history, that's how a lot of people feel. Do not go on Twitter and search Brewers choking. There is tweet after tweet after tweet. I'm sorry. Are they X's now?
No, just tweets.
Okay. They are post after post after post after post after post after post after post.
No one calls it X.
People talking about how the Brewers choked. did so well in the regular season, as Murphy has reminded us, led wire to wire, had a lead or the top spot in the NL Central for the entire regular season. And if they lose tonight, or even if they lose on Thursday, even if they're able to pull out a win today, Gabe, and lose on Thursday, this will be an epic disappointment. Chewy has talked about the Bucks and their disappointment. And what was the word he used, the phrase he uses when describing the Bucks losing?
I don't know. I don't listen when he talks basketball.
Failure?
Yeah, that's okay. I was going to try to defend him, but I was like, it's indefensible. But he has talked about how it is the most disappointing failure in Wisconsin sports. This might be up there, guys. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. I know I am just throwing it out there to be like, but that is what, Joshy, fans are guarding themselves against. They are guarding themselves against getting too invested, caring too much about a team that has broken their hearts in the postseason repeatedly, and then seeing shades of that last night in their ballpark with their ace on the mound against a team that had played a doubleheader the day before. 800-990-3776. We got callers lined up to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers. We got folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. And we got our loyal YouTubers who are chit-chatting as well. We'll get to that reaction next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things. Which I think is a pretty good deal, which gets me in trouble.
You got a Viagra ring?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hit it!
The Milwaukee Brewers are the first team in Major League Baseball history to blow a multi-run lead.
All right, what are we doing?
And lose in four straight postseason games.
Like, what are we doing here?
You're not helping.
I'm just spitting facts over
here.
Yeah,
you don't think you could have admitted that fact?
Omitted. I did admit it. I think that that's part of the reason that Brewers fans this morning, some, not all, are having a very tough time being confident in this Brewers team. It feels like same old, same old. It feels like deja vu. It feels like we have seen this movie before, and I might just take myself out of the theater. Let's go out to the phone lines. Dave in Oak Creek waiting patiently on the line. Dave, how are you feeling about the Brew Crew this morning after they dropped the first game to the Mets in the wild card series?
Yeah, I'm pretty positive that they could still come back today and have a really good game, but losing that first one was really frustrating to see our pitcher get pulled while the Mets kept their pitcher in there and found some stability with their pitcher that was struggling a lot more than Peralta was. He only gave up two hits, and that crowd was on fire once we were up 4-3. And we thought bringing in our Freddy Peralta at that end of their inning with 7, 8, 9 hitters was what they should have done. I mean, Freddy was just pitching the lights out, and he had lots of emotion, and that the fans were going crazy. And to have Piamps come in there and was just really frustrating to see that. He gave up two line shots right away. I mean, Churiel saved that HR on the first one. And the second one, obviously, misplayed, like you said. But to not have Piamps cover first base when he was there a couple seconds, it seemed like, before the runner, and then not even getting to first base was just beyond us. And then it just got on out of control after that. But so real frustrated about yesterday, but I think they could still win today.
Why?
Have a chance to go into that Mets on the
Why
Thursday.
Do you think they could win? Let's give some folks reasons to be confident. Why are you confident, Dave?
Oh, I think those the team was on fire yesterday, right from the top with Turang and Churio really let the team off yesterday. And I think you're going to see all the guys be real pumped up today. Hoskins and the rest of the group, I think they're going to put up some runs tonight and win that game tonight for sure. I think that the team's on fire. They just had a tough outing yesterday, losing their leader on the mound. I think the coach just did kind of what Council used to do, is pull the pitchers too early and overmanage that situation. And he went with the numbers of what happened in the past with Freddie in his fifth compared to what Freddie was doing on the mound that day. Freddie was on fire, just completely on fire. And it was one of his best outings, and to pull him in the playoffs was just beyond the fans. The fans were just irate that Piamps came in that inning.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the fans were going crazy after
that? Confidence, Gabe?
I didn't.
I don't know where that's, like, Freddie isn't what we've seen Freddie be. He wasn't all year.
And he
had stretches.
He closed out the season relatively strong.
Yes.
Like, I think he had the last two starts were pretty solid. But he was a lot of deep counts.
Uh-huh.
A lot of pitches not in the zone.
Yeah.
Like, so when it happened, I was fine with it. Like, yeah. Okay.
I didn't think twice.
All right, you got the lead. You've got a full fresh
bullpen. Especially
because
of how successful the bullpen has been.
Correct.
Right? They came into the season. They finished the regular season second of all bullpens with a 3.11 ERA. Like, that right there should give you confidence to hand the ball over, to move it on. But here's what I will say about that. If Freddie is rolling like he was, how did Freddie have no idea that that was the rule, that that's how it was going to shake out? He was at 68 pitches. Again, guys, let's hear from Freddie Peralta, who was asked afterward how he felt about getting pulled after the fourth inning.
About the decision to be done after the fourth, like, what were those conversations like, and how do you feel about that?
You know, like, it's not the first time. It happened in the past too. I don't understand the reason that I was took out of the game, but there's nothing I can do about it. And in the moment too, they just came and, like, you're done. That's it.
So that's where I was like, because I feel like that conversation should have taken place beforehand. I feel like if Murphy always knew that he wasn't going to pitch the fifth because he was using the analytics, he was using his history of, you set a 7+ ERA in the fifth inning, I feel like that conversation should have taken place beforehand.
But
I feel
Freddie should have known he
had four innings to get the work done, and then they were always going to hand it over. Because if retiring the previous nine, Gabe, wasn't sufficient enough, wasn't evidence enough to maybe give him a shot at the fifth, then he was always going to pull him at the fourth.
I don't think he was always going to pull him in the fourth. Again, I think it was more of a feel thing. Again, working a lot of deep counts, working, he had thrown, almost 70 pitches through four innings. You know, it's not like Freddie was out there just mowing people down, being efficient.
I think he gets the fifth inning if he hasn't given up three runs at that point.
Yes.
I feel like we're treating it as if he was just mowing down all game long, but that he had given up runs. He had, there's parts that didn't look great for him, and he put it together in those last three. But using the information we have at hand, the fifth inning isn't particularly good for him, and it's not particularly good, I would imagine, when he's pitching like he did yesterday.
Well, he went five innings against Arizona on the 13th. He went five innings against the Phillies on the 18th. He went 5 1/3 against the Pirates on the 25th. So maybe Freddie felt like he was ramping himself up. He felt like he was pushing himself down the stretch there to go five innings in the postseason.
Are you telling me
that they wouldn't have had a conversation, Gabe, about, like, how they were going to use him as the ace of the staff to send a message, set the tone?
No. I mean, because, again, it all depends upon how you're pitching. It all comes down to, how the manager thinks the game is going. And you just took the lead. Like, if the Brewers hadn't just taken the lead...
But doesn't say afterward, I don't know why. They would have had a conversation which says, and again, you go over
maybe you have those things. Maybe you have it after, but at that point, it's just like, hey, you're done for today. Hey, good. You gave us four strong. We're good. And then you can have that conversation later. You're not having the conversation before the game of, hey, this is how long we're expecting you to go.
5 1/3 against St. Louis on the 2nd. 6 innings against San Francisco on the 28th. 5 against St. Louis.
Again, to me, this is all irrelevant. It's all irrelevant. Get your damn outs and none of it matters. Like, if you want to put this on Murph, go ahead and put it on Murph.
Hold on.
I am putting this on the players that were on the field who didn't do
their
job.
Yeah, you want to put it on one player, Piams, who made a mistake at first base. Like, that's what you've said, which is fine, whatever. But I'm going to go down his pitch counts also. 96, 91, 103, 86, 102, 105, 92, 81, 96, 93. Where does 68 fall in there, guys? 68 is a huge outlier. Again, numbers, not my strong suit, but I think I know how this works out. I think I can tell that 68 is way lower than 96, 91, 103, 86, 102, etc. I think Freddie Peralta was putting himself in a position as the season went on to be the ace that we expected him to be. And as he said after the game, he was surprised. He didn't understand why he got pulled after four. Is it a sliding door moment? Of course it is. Can you rethink it, re-guess it, second-guess it, Monday morning quarterback it? Obviously. But I think Freddie's reaction afterwards was like, no, he doesn't know why he only got four innings in a game one of a wild card series against the Mets. And I think that's where I'm coming from.
If Jackson catches the ball, if Piamps covers first base, none of it matters.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Keep getting us your reaction to the Brewers' loss to the Mets in Game 1 of the Wild Card Series, putting themselves behind the eight ball, backs against the wall now, as they take on the Mets again today. And hopefully the next day. We have Adam Schefter coming up next, talking a little NFL. See what he has to say going on around the league right after this.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Initially, I was told from the jump, 3 to 4 weeks. I was told initially that the games that were most likely for him to come back were either the Vikings in Week 4 or the Rams in Week 5.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
It's always a great day when we can talk to our friend Adam Schefter. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Did Chewy make it to Turkey?
As far as we know.
I mean, we've gotten one text from him, so we know he's still alive.
Yeah, and it was in response to...
Christian Watson.
Called him a potato.
Well, I'm glad to hear that he arrived safely. I hope it wasn't too much of a mental torturous trip, and it's good to be with you, Jen and Gabe, today.
He didn't even call him a potato. He just sent us the potato emoji.
Correct.
That has been the correspondence from Chew from Turkey. Adam, I want to get to...
What does that mean? What does that mean? What did he say?
See, this is why I didn't want to say what it was, because I didn't want to dive into what potato means on this show, especially when Chewy says it.
Go ahead. What does it mean?
Okay. So Chewy played in a different era of the NFL.
I just want to say I'm so thankful that Gabe is taking this for the team.
So Chewy, played in a different era in the NFL, as you were aware.
Feels very strongly about playing.
Yes, playing, especially playing while you're hurt or knowing when you're hurt. And there have been a couple of times with Christian Watson where he has left the game only to return to the game or come back to practice. So there is a different P word that you cannot say on the radio. So he has, instead of calling him soft, has taken to calling him a potato.
Yeah, there you go. Now Adam Schefter is really wishing he wasn't involved this conversation.
It didn't take me long once you started to explain it, Gabe.
Yep. This is the world we live in.
Okay, so let's move on. I'm seeing a lot of chatter about Devontae Adams. Obviously, there is a familiarity here because of his time in Green Bay. What is the latest? He has requested a trade. You expect he will be somewhere else. What are you hearing, Adam?
Yep. All that's true. All of that is true right there, Jen. And what's amazing to me is that the Raiders were getting calls over the summer from other teams, and they were getting offers from others, and they wouldn't even entertain them for Devontae Adams. And they kept saying, you know what? We are going to keep him. He's our guy. And then a month into the season, they're now open to considering offers. He's asking for a trade. The situation has changed. And there's no way that they're going to be able to get back now what they could have gotten a month ago. It's just not going to happen. So you've got a situation where I expect he's going to be traded. I don't know whether it's going to be this week, next week, before the trade deadline on November 5th, which just happens to fall on the presidential election as well. We get the presidential election, the NFL trade deadline the very same day, Tuesday, November 5th. But Devontae Adams is going to be sent away from Vegas, I believe. And that's the opinion of people around the league. Once this all happens, once you've got a player asking for a trade, a coach allegedly liking an IG post about him wanting to be traded and being out of town, them calling teams to see what they could get back. The hay, what's the old expression? The hay's out of the barn, or the hay's in the barn, or the hay's in the barn, right? The hay's in the barn.
Wait,
Are you saying that
he is a depressed asset at this point because they could have gotten more for him before and they kind of have shown their hand as far as either what they think of him or how they've been using him?
I'm not saying he's a depressed asset. I'm just saying that they're not going to be able to get back for him now what they could have gotten back from him 6 weeks ago.
Because teams know that, okay, now you have to trade him.
Right.
Correct.
So they've lost some leverage.
Right. It's a mess. There's more guaranteed money. Not only that, but like a team like the Niners, they had the Brandon Ayuk situation. So if they could have gotten Davante Adams, well, then all these people that are calling out Brandon Ayuk, they could have traded him. But they couldn't get Davante Adams. And they were willing to pony up for Davante Adams. But the Raiders wouldn't entertain their calls.
So
the Jets were calling about Davante Adams. And knowing what the Niners were offering, they would have to offer the same. But now the Niners are out because they re-signed Brandon Ayuk, right? And so there's not a stalking horse. There's not somebody they're bidding against. The options are more limited. We're into the season. Players ask for a trade. Player doesn't want to be there. Team wants to move on. Not going to get the same value.
I look at the NFC North, and I don't think there's a team that really makes sense for Davante in the NFC North. So as far as the Packers are concerned, are there any other NFC teams that they could be competing with potentially in the postseason that would make sense for Davante?
Well, I he's not going to Minnesota.
Yeah.
He's not, I've seen people bring up Detroit, but I have not heard Detroit as an official team in on Davante Adams.
That'd be wild.
I think I've heard the Jets, the Commanders, yes. The Chiefs, yes. Which is very intriguing for me.
That's not happening.
I can't imagine they trade him in the division.
Oh, I love the Adams. Don't even, you know what? Don't even waste your time.
Especially with the injury to Rashee Rice, that would make all the sense in the world.
Right.
But everybody else in the league would, not only would you be trading him to a division rival, but like everybody else in the league would hate you for trading Davante Adams to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Oh, big whoop.
Rest of the league already hates you?
Pretty much, yeah. We'll just filibuster until Adam.
I do not expect that he's getting traded to Kansas City. I don't think that that's happening.
So who would be a good fit? Who would be a good team? I mean, is it the obvious one? Is it the Jets? Because there's a weird thing happening there in New York, which I guess some people might have seen coming, but we can't get a pulse of if that team is going to be good or not.
I think the Jets absolutely are in play. Now, whether or not it actually happens is a different thing, but do I think that the player is interested in going there? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, whether the two sides can get together and agree on compensation is a whole other issue, but do I think that Davante Adams has an interest in playing for the New York Jets? 100%.
We continue to talk here in Green Bay, Adam, about the kicking situation for the Packers. Bill Huber over at Sports Illustrated put out the list. The Packers worked out a couple of kickers. And this is just the way it is, right? I mean, there might not even be 32 good enough kickers to fill all the spots in the league. I think we're kind of realizing that in Green Bay. Like the list of kickers who are available to the Packers, it just seems so limited, right?
Well, it's a case where if you're going to go sign a kicker, honestly, the easiest one to do, it's interesting because the other day I put out a post on X on Instagram saying that the NFL had concluded an investigation in which it interviewed 30 people regarding an incident last year with Brandon McManus, who the Commanders had signed, and had it concluded there was insufficient evidence to discipline him under the NFL's personal conduct policy, and it was closing the case. So that was the NFL with Brandon McManus. Brandon McManus is on the street looking for a job. Like this, I mean, you got to look into that situation as the NFL did. But if it is what the NFL says it is, then this is an easy decision as to who you'd want your kicker to be moving forward.
I'm unfamiliar with that story. I'll have to check in on it. He was facing discipline, but
he was allegedly accused of I want to make sure I get my language correct here, Jen. Inappropriately interacting with two flight attendants on a flight home from London last year. And there were charges or there was a civil case filed against him. And the Commanders wound up releasing him after they had signed him to a big free agent deal. And the league investigated it and determined on Monday that there was insufficient evidence to discipline him under the NFL's personal conduct policy and that the case, in the NFL's eyes, was closed. The civil case goes on. There's a civil case. So now Brandon McManus is a free agent. He thought he would be kicking for the Commanders this year. The case arose. The league looked into it. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
So the Packers, yes, thank you. And I appreciate you filling me in on that. The Packers find themselves in an unfortunate situation, which is that here we are entering the month of October, and they still are not confident with their kicker. And that means that they are devoting resources to that and brain power to that and bringing guys in, you know, this week to try out, to see. Like, I don't want to overstate it, but I also don't want to understate it. Like, how significant is this of a problem for an NFL team at this point?
Well, kicking is a big part of the game. You know, we're talking about a third of the game. And they're going to play games where it comes down to a kick. And you have to believe in your guy. And they apparently didn't believe in their kicker last year. And obviously they're having a tough time believing in their kicker this year, which is why they're looking to still fill that position. And so, look, I mean, you don't need me to tell you how important a kicker is in the NFL. Although, in this day and age, with analytics being what they are, it seems like coaches are bypassing field goals more and more. There are so many of these situations now. I'm watching these games, and they're just not played, or coaches don't make the same decisions that they did when I watched football growing up.
Like,
a team is down, you know, they're up by 7, and they're going for 2. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, they're bypassing field goals to go for it on 4th and 8. You know, like, what do you do? I don't get it. I guess I'm a middle-aged guy that's just not as hip and into analytics as sometimes taking an obvious kick and getting points on the board.
Yeah, I think when you're using the word hip, I think that's when you know, Adam. That's when you know, maybe some stuff has passed you by.
Yeah, well, we knew that.
Well, so we spent a lot of time during the offseason, Adam, talking about the golf league, with the fantasy golf league, where you're making your picks and doing that, kind of help you pass the time. Is there anything else that you do now that the golf season is over? Or are you just so busy with the NFL, it doesn't matter?
You know, Gabe, I'm so glad you brought that up, and I didn't even ask you to bring that up, but I actually drew, and I'm going to ask both of you about this because you'll know more than me. So my hobby, my obsession in the spring is fantasy golf, and in the winter it's fantasy basketball. Like, I play fantasy football league. Like, I love fantasy basketball. So we had our draft lottery last Sunday, and I drew the 6th pick. Now, the first 4 picks in fantasy basketball, in no order, are going to be Victor Wembanyama, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The person at 5 is going to take either Jason Tatum or Anthony Edwards. And that's going to leave me at 6 with the idea that maybe I take either Tatum, Edwards, Greek, or Halliburton. So my question to you would be, do we feel like Giannis is going to have a big bounce back year? Are we worried about him at all? How do we feel? How do we assess Giannis going into this year as I ponder him with the 6th pick?
He appears to be healthy, and that's the biggest thing with Giannis right now, is can he stay healthy? Because last year was arguably one of his best seasons, but because the narrative around the Bucks wasn't great, I feel that he didn't get as much love. Like, he averaged 30 points on a shooting percentage that had never been done before in the NBA. Like, he was
31 points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 31.6. He shot 57%, or like 565 or something like that.
Yeah, he was the most efficient anyone had ever been scoring that many points. And I think Dame Lillard is going to be more locked in this year. I think the coaching situation is going to be better. I really think Giannis is going to still have a big year.
I am very glad you brought this up, Adam Schefter. Let me get comfortable in my seat here for a moment. What is this business I'm hearing that you may be an NBA insider now? You can't just keep the NFL. You need more than one league. You got to go NFL and NBA. What is this I'm hearing about you maybe dabbling in the insider space in the association?
Jen. Listen, I love my job. I love my job very much. I will continue to do my job as long as they'll have me. But I love the NBA, and I love big stories, right? So, again, is it going to happen? Probably not. It's not practical. But I will say this, that if Woj had waited till the end of our contracts, being that we basically signed them together, matching lengths of time, if he had waited till the end, and I told him this, Like, I honestly, that would have been a viable scenario to me, like saying, you know what, I'm going to go cover basketball now. Is it as practical now? No. No, I'm not going to leave football. Could they create something where, I don't know, they said, like, you're not going to do any shows during the week, NFL Live, SportsCenter, but you'll just do NFL Sunday Countdown, Monday Countdown, free agency draft, and NBA free agency, and NBA draft, like, things like that, like, big stuff? That would be interesting. That would be interesting to me.
All right.
Now, but again, I work for them. I do what they tell me to do. I love my job. I love the company. And I'm going to keep doing my job as well as I possibly can. But it's just not, probably not practical right now. But if somebody wants to talk to me about something, I'm all ears and ready to listen.
That's amazing. All right, Adam, we'll let you off the hook. I just wanted to put the old, put you at the interrogation table there for a moment. Put the big spotlight on your face.
I'm rooting for you to take Giannis as well in your draft, Adam, because then that kind of gives us something to talk about during the NBA season too.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Like, I was going over with somebody last time. I'm like, why is he projected to be the 11th pick in most NBA drafts? And they're like, well, because it's, I don't know if you guys know how fantasy basketball works, but there's 9 categories. Yep. And Giannis doesn't really shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a very good free throw shooter, which I don't understand how that could be, but he's not. So those two categories drag down his value some. But, like, as a player, the guy's unbelievable. I looked, he's going to be 30 years old this year. I don't think that's terribly old in basketball terms, especially when you look at LeBron. So who is their coach right now?
Doc.
Oh, well, we like that. That we like a lot.
Hey, you were doing a great job campaigning for the NBA gig until you asked that question.
Look, he would, you know, forget.
Listen, you know what? These teams change. Like, last I knew, it was Bud. You know, yeah. Mike Budenholzer, right?
There's a couple coaches go now. I mean, as much as the Bucks is rotating,
that's what I'm saying. There have been enough changes there that I can't keep up with the Bucks coaches. Sorry, Ken. If it were my job, I would.
Yep. Get her.
It's not my job to know that.
Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning, and I appreciate you taking a few from me there. Have a good one, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, potato heads. See ya.
Rude.
That was the most offensive thing he could have said, and yet it's also the funniest thing he could have said. Adam Schefter, each and every week brought to us by the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you are planning to visit the great city of Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Guys, when my pals come in from ESPN to stay in our great city, guess where they stay? St. Kate. Why? Because it's got deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. That's not a lie either. They love it. Michelle Smallman, unsportsmanlike, hanging out in Milwaukee last week. Guess where she was? St. Kate. Loved it. Fantastic.
I had some of their pizza from Proof last night.
So good.
It was good.
Big fans of the St. Kate establishment. We are talking about your Milwaukee Brewers this morning who lost the game. It was not the only thing. Man, lots of folks are thrilled with Adam Schefter insulting us at end of the...
He was really thrilled with himself.
Was he? He was happy about it?
Looked like it.
Potato heads. What was going on with Jesse Winker and our guy Willie Adames? So I want to give the context. There was some trash talking that was going on the base paths, and I went immediately to Adam McAlvey's Twitter account, because if anybody's going to know what's going on or what would have caused or what contributed to some interaction like that, it would be Adam McAlvey, who covers the team 365 days of the year. However, Adam McAlvey tweeted, and I quote, I have a bad memory, but I can't remember Willy Adames ever jawing with an opposing player like he and Jesse Winker were going at it at the top of the second inning. We will ask post-game what that was all about. What did you make of that, Gabe?
I had no idea what to make of it. I mean, I was also, you know, ensconced with rage because Jesse Winker stunk so much last year and then decided to...
Of course it's Winker.
Bleep that guy. He was getting booed when he came as a pinch hitter last year because he was so bad with the Brewers last year.
Oh, when he was on the Brewers.
Yes. Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. In the playoffs, mm-hmm. They pinch hit him in a playoff, back-to-back playoff games. So bad the Brewers fans booed him. So I don't know if he was just like letting out, hey, I was bad here last year and
now I'm not.
Now I'm not and deciding to go after Willy Adames. Like, why are you going after Willy? Doesn't everybody love Willy?
I love Willy.
Like, across the league. It always seems like he's got a smile on his face. Like, if he's chatting with somebody at second base, it's not like he's ever jawing with anybody at second base.
Yeah, it looks cordial. It looks jovial. Let's hear from Willy Adames when asked what happened with Jesse Winker during game one.
About the decision to be done after the fourth. Like, what were those conversations like?
Whoops!
Desk pop.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what was going through his head, but he just started saying some stuff, and I just said something back, you know. I don't know. I think that's, you know, the kind of player he is, you know. Just, it is what it is.
Disappointing? I mean, that's a former teammate of yours last year.
It's surprising. That was surprising that he, you know, that he was saying some stuff. But, you know, like I say, I guess, you know, that's part of his personality. You know, it was just a little bit of a surprise to me, you know. But, you know, we don't back off.
That's the kind of person he is? That's a special kind of insult.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're just letting people connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of person he is. Oh.
I think Yelich, too, said when he was asked in the in-game interview there, he's like, well, we know both those players, so I'll let you guys figure it out. Which feels like both of those guys, and I don't know if they talked about that on the bench or before Willie spoke, both of those guys are kind of saying the same thing. They're pointing us in one direction.
Which is, don't let your eyes deceive you.
Right.
Like, you know what you see.
Yeah.
You know, you get it.
You know who Willie is.
Yeah.
Now we know who Jesse Winker is.
And remember, when Willy Adames came over, I believe it was Tampa Bay. Is that where he came from?
Yeah, he came from Tampa.
They were like despondent about losing him because he was such a good clubhouse guy, because he was such a good teammate, because everybody loved him. And that was the book on him when he came to Milwaukee. You're going to love this guy. Well, that came true. That happened. So, yeah, I think we can kind of read between the lines, but it's not in a foreign language who we're supposed to pull for here.
One of those guys is a Jag, and it's not Willie.
Let's hear from the Jag.
What was it that was saying to you after that?
Nothing.
What were you saying to him?
I don't really want to speak on it.
Oh.
I just want to focus on the game tomorrow.
Okay.
You coward. You coward. Absolute coward.
You got.
You did it. You started it.
Yeah. Hey, you
want to saw it?
Pound your chest. Pound your chest, man. Let the world know what you were saying.
It makes it pretty clear to me that, now, I don't have direct information. He was a problem last year in the clubhouse, and I don't think he was liked.
Kind of seems that way.
Yeah. Because why are you barking at Willie, who didn't do anything? There was no play at second base.
Willie didn't pitch the ball, you know? Like,
right.
It's not like you're barking at the pitcher. You didn't get the hit off of Willie.
And Willie just was the closest guy to him that he could take out his frustrations with. But if you look into what happened in Seattle, I think you're going to find some of the same responses of how they thought about Jesse Winker towards the end of his tenure there.
And look, maybe he was just a malcontent because he stunk. He stunk in Seattle, stunk in Milwaukee.
It's not Willie's fault he sucked.
No. Don't blame him. Look in the mirror, pal.
Can the Brewers use it for motivation? Can the Brewers rally around it, or is it dangerous to do that?
I think it's dangerous. You go about your business. I mean, if you can rub his face in it a little bit by winning today and tomorrow, yeah, do that. But
yeah, if you got a big lead today, maybe a ball runs a little inside on it.
Okay, I know what. That's a dangerous game to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking you got 5-6 runs. He comes up in the ninth. Whoops!
You're tiptoeing eerily close to our San Francisco issue here. So you're gonna back away from the microphone, buddy.
In baseball, that stuff happens.
Chewy would argue it happens in football, too, but San Francisco did not want to hear that.
You
pull it on his keister.
You don't want a pitcher to get suspended in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's got to be an extra guy there.
Not the way it works.
Aren't the bullpens longer, bigger?
Justin weighing in saying he's a well-known D-bag across the MLB, guessing there's some bad blood from last year. It's a reason why Winker can't find a home. He had issues in Seattle, too. Hopefully the Brewers have no issues with the Mets when they take them on in Game 2 today. We roll on for Hour 2 right after this.